Little Tyler from 21 Pilots is our lead-in music. We're going to ride. That's next Friday, where as soon as I leave here, I intend for the car to be packed, and Charlie's going to disappear for approximately 10 days. Don't call, don't write, I won't return. The following week, John and Stefan will be in doing George Paul Radio, and they're here now.
And I just let me mention, I did get it wrong. It was Nikki Randall who the speaker had up to run the house back a couple, 3 weeks ago.
With apologies to Representative Randall, and may she do well in her retirement. If I understood that story, that it was her farewell day. So anyway, I don't know what's going on here. I haven't slept, but that makes for great radio.
Yeah.
So let's talk again a few more things that did pass, and then we'll jump into what didn't. John Marta, you followed the Marta bill. It's a pared down version, kind of what was it. And where I say pared down, originally it went in, and you were going to have a half penny for Marta expansion in Fulton and DeKalb County, and a half penny for roads in Fulton and DeKalb was the Marta proposal. North Fulton came back and said, we want more money for roads, and we're not really crazy about spending more money on MARTA, and it doesn't benefit the whole county. And so it kind of got sliced and diced, where instead of becoming half and half, it became, I believe, a penny for City of Atlanta for MARTA and a penny for North Fulton for roads.
Half a penny in the City of Atlanta for MARTA.
Okay.
And you know, Mayor Reed was very emphatic that there be funding for MARTA coming out of this thing somehow. And so he got half a penny there, three-quarters of a penny that is going to North Fulton for transportation purposes. Kind of sounds like House Bill 170 from last year.
Okay.
That could even be, let's say, something like Bus Rapid Transit if they wanted to do that, and they could contract with MARTA in an intergovernmental agreement to get that accomplished. The remaining quarter of a percent is open for use sometime in the future. And it represented, obviously, a victory for MARTA and for the City of Atlanta. Where that money will go, could it be something on the Beltline? Could it be the first half of a Lindbergh to Avondale light rail? It's kind of hard to say, but it gets the process rolling. What it doesn't answer is what we're going to do about regional transit down the road. That's a 2017 discussion.
I wrote a column on that early in the session where I kind of tried to point that as the warning sign of the people that are willing to tax themselves get to make the decisions on where that's going to be spent. And so this went from extending MARTA out to bring people into the urban core to building out the urban core. And so you're going to have a lot more road diets in Atlanta, where they're taking lanes out of roads to make bike lanes and other streetcars and that kind of thing. And in this case, they're going to spend the next 30 or 40 years, whatever it is, of sales tax for transit, and it's going to be on things that are in the inner city core where the people are willing to tax themselves for it. And at some point, you know, the sprawl is going to keep going in the suburbs, and you're not, you know, it all only gets more expensive, whether it's bus rapid transit or rail or whatever's done. It gets harder and harder if you don't plan for this stuff. And we got people that just say bumper sticker answers like, we don't pick winners and losers. And yes, you do. With everything that government does or doesn't do, you're picking winners and losers. And I just think, you know, the northern metro Atlanta, where I'm now a resident in Cobb County, is going to look back 10 or 15 years from now and go, why didn't we do something about this? I mean, we're already doing it, and yet at the same time, we're not looking ahead. Stefan, next issue, pick one. What did we pass that?
I got two hell yeahs. One is to Micah Gravely. I'm sorry. Is that right? Okay. I got two heck yeahs. One of them is to Micah Gravely for his bill expanding coverage of workers' compensation to work-related cancers that firefighters get. They had to get some specific cancers, like they'll go into a burning chemical plant and ingest enough stuff that it actually manifests in cancer later. If they can prove that, they can then recover under workers' compensation. Good bill. Worked really hard to get it done. Took him a couple years. Really nice bill. So that's my first heck yeah, is it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's clean it up. Family language.
Right.
Family language.
Heck yeah, right? All right.
Until I start cursing people out for what we didn't pass later. But
True. Second point I wanted to make on that MARTA bill, actually, is that the language says that Atlanta can spend it on things that actually directly benefit Atlanta or are reasonable to Atlanta, which means possibly, say, Clifton Corridor funding. So it's really a very smart bill for Atlanta. And eventually we'll all get our own train stations.
That's my hope. And Plan John, another one.
And this is not really a significant earth-shaking bill, but the Senate finally did pass the adoptable dog as the Georgia State dog. This has been around now for two sessions. It was introduced last year by Joe Wilkinson out of Atlanta and kind of didn't have anything happen to it last year. Representative Wilkinson announced earlier this week that he will be leaving. Actually, he had qualified to run again and decided he was going to ask the Secretary of State to take his name off the ballot. And will retire, and it was kind of a fitting tribute for him that the Senate, I think it passed the House a while back, and now the Senate yesterday managed to find the time to get that bill passed.
Yeah, there was some palace intrigue on getting him out of that race, and he's not terribly happy about it. I think we've written about it on Georgia Paul. I know it's public, but we'll save some of those discussions for a later show. But Representative Wilkinson, someone I didn't start... I actually started out, we were butting heads, and almost you could say we're enemies at one point. We've learned, I've learned to appreciate him, and he's a good guy, and I'm going to miss him. Stephen?
I think my other heck yeah goes out to Lindsey Tippins' education bill. He worked really hard on that to give some people some flexibility, really made some teachers happy. Obviously, you know, any bill that's that big has some compromises in it, and there's things that people don't like in it. But overall, it was really a win for teachers and for the school systems that wanted some flexibility in testing and ability to really determine their own fates.
And yeah. I guess just to maybe wrap, well, I guess we're not quite wrapping it up, but one of the highlights of this session was there was no real major significant bill that managed to get its way through. Last year we had House Bill 170, the transportation bill. You had Governor Deal's Opportunity School District. It was a big bill, had a lot of debate. This year there was a lot of what I called entrepreneurial bills. They were individual bills maybe designed to get a representative elected. Of course, the traditional, you do this every year where you have to adjust the code to match federal regulations and things. There's no controversy. It's just getting it done. Same thing with the budget, right? I mean, it went through. There were no real significant fights over it, even though they had the conference committee. I know Terry Englund was very happy and Jack Hill with the way the thing came out. But again, it wasn't very controversial. And there was kind of one bill out there, I thought, that was pretty controversial. That took up quite a bit of the time.
Well, as I said, that's the various versions of religious freedom, and that was not so much a bill as it was just a
crusade.
There you go. I was going to say much better word than where I was going with it, but to your point of not major bills being done. Now that I'm working more on the policy side and trying to line up both messaging and some strategy of how to do that, I will say that again, legislators are elected for a 2-year session. And we've got to start looking at governing in those terms, especially in this election cycle where everybody is against everything. On Democrats, you've got 50% of the people voting for Bernie Sanders to burn it all down. The Republicans are trying to choose between Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, who aren't exactly good governance, maintain the status quo, bold initiative Republicans. I mean, it's against everything. And in this environment, the expectation you could actually do something transformative on health care reform, funding reform. We did pass a $100 million tax credit bill that will fund rural hospitals. Right. That actually, I think, was I believe that was Jeff Duncan's bill.
Jeff Duncan, absolutely.
If I'm not mistaken. And that hasn't gotten the press it deserves. That is a huge, shall we say, free market tax incentive-based fix to get some money into the part of the health care system that desperately, desperately needs it. Those of us in Metro Atlanta don't quite get that as much as you do. But if you live in a really rural part of rural Georgia, you understand it. But in terms of whether you tackle the issue of Medicaid expansion or just frankly putting more money into it at the state for the system we have now that needs to be done, you can't very well go out and do that knowing that you're going to be the chances of being primaried this year. I haven't gone to compare to other years, but the number of primary challengers for sitting incumbents is high. And the risk to losing to anyone just because you're an incumbent is probably as high as any time I can remember it in politics, in a primary, not so much the general election because the districts aren't drawn that way. So the expectation that these guys can go through the session that goes as quickly as it does, I mean, we talk about it being 40 days, but, you know, there's not a lot of time to really craft these bills and get them just right. And when you talk about major stuff that's very complex, to be able to come out of a session here the very end of March and have to 6 weeks to 8 weeks later, whatever the actual, I think it's seven, be on a ballot and defend what you just did. That's not a lot of time to educate a voter base that frankly doesn't want to be educated. They believe that their opinion is in fact a fact, and I watch the just incredulousness of voters when their elected officials don't agree with 100% of what they think, even though they will then readily admit they have no idea what they're talking about. To expect people to govern 6 weeks before an election and do major transformative stuff, what we didn't do is we didn't undo House Bill 170 and start taking away hotel fees that are funding it or roll back the excise tax just to do an election year pandering move. We didn't go after Opportunity School District, although we also didn't move education reform forward this year. That was pulled back because it was an election year and the teachers were angry. And the governor, who's not up for re-election, decided he wasn't going to put the legislators in that situation. And so it was a session where we basically had to figure out how to know our limits. And even still, we're going to get to religious freedom. We might have underperformed that on that one issue. We'll talk about that a little more, Georgia Paul Radio and WGST 640 AM on this Good Friday right after this.